This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast that's all things business across the state of Florida. And for those of you who have been tuning in to the most recent segments of Small Biz Florida, we are coming to you from the annual 2022 Florida Economic Development Council Conference. We are in beautiful downtown St. Pete. We are at the Hilton Bayfront, and the room is absolutely full of economic development professionals from all across the state of Florida. Honor and a pleasure to bring Small Business Florida to the event. We've had some great conversations. And of course, as everyone knows, our little podcast here is dedicated to highlighting and bringing awareness to all the business resources and assistance programs that exist out there across Florida and across anywhere. So, if you've also been tuning in recently, you know that we've got our very good friend helping us co-host for the FEDC conference, Dr. Herb Ricardo, standout business school professor at IRSC. Thanks again, Herb, for helping us co-host and running the podcast here.
Great, Tom. Thanks so much. It's great to be over here.
Yep. We appreciate the help. And again, our purpose is simple and clear. We want to highlight business assistance resources and programs, and we've got one of those very programs with us right now. We've got Paul Santiago, who serves as the Director of Campaign Services for Convergent Nonprofit Solutions. Welcome to Small Business Florida.
Good morning, Paul. Gentlemen.
Yep.
Good morning.
Paul, I had the opportunity when I saw you on the list of segments, I took the opportunity to check out the website and check out the organization. Interesting organization, obviously a very powerful and helpful organization for nonprofits. I spent a little time early in my career as the director of a nonprofit, and I just have one question for you, Paul. Where were you when I was running that nonprofit? We could have used the help. So very intrigued about the organization, so looking forward to the conversation.
I am as well. Thank you.
So, Paul, let's start as we do with everyone. Just a little bit of background on you and your pathway to Convergent Nonprofit Solutions.
Actually, my pathway to the fundraising business is a little interesting. I was from Jacksonville, but I was living in Atlanta 20-something years ago. And the Hartsfield Airport was a customer of the organization I was with. And I was crossing a crosswalk and somebody beeped at me. And it happened to be a friend who had just dropped his wife off at the airport, and he was working for the Chamber of Commerce in Jacksonville, and he said he's moving to Atlanta. So we chatted, and he said, hey, this is what I'm doing, and I was intrigued, and that was my pathway to fundraising in the nonprofit world. I wound up working with a firm out of Atlanta, and that was how I got involved in the fundraising business, and it was my first project just happened to be in Birmingham, Alabama, for a baseball park. It was a baseball where Willie Mays played. It was a Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. We raised over $1 million to renovate the park. And so I was hooked on fundraising.
Wow.
It just happened to be, you know, that's how it worked. But my path to Convergent, many of the gentlemen that I work with now, we worked together at that firm, in that original firm in Atlanta. And in 2009, several of them had gone there. We had gone our own ways and came together and formed Convergent, and hence the name. We had raised millions of dollars throughout the country, and decided that, hey, we have a common goal, a common way of doing things, and that's how the organization came to be. And now we have over 40 fundraising professionals raising millions of dollars throughout in communities throughout the country. Here we are, 12 years later?
Wow, that incredible story. Again, my question is the same, Paul. Where were you when I was in that nonprofit? Good Lord. I mean, incredible. 40 individuals out there helping nonprofits.
Yes.
Wow. Impressive. So so now talk to us. You kind of touched on Convergent. I love the source for the name. Folks came together and converged. In entrepreneurship, we call those collisions, but probably not as good a name for your organization. So I love Convergent, coming together. So talk to us about the organization. How mission, obviously, is to raise money for nonprofits, but kind of talk to us about how that all works.
Well, interestingly enough, we work here. A lot of our focus is with chambers and economic development organizations. We're here at the FEDC conference. But we also do a lot of work with humane societies, homeless shelters, and other organizations. Our focus is really, we do full-time campaign management for organizations. And our goal is to really relieve that burden on the staff, because most organizations are very lean. And our focus is to come in and manage the day-to-day things that occur throughout the course of a campaign. And we make the professional ask, so we reduce that burden on your volunteers. We're not going to ask you to take 10 pledge cards and go out and ask your friends and pass the hat, so to speak. And we also employ what we like to say, a return on investment. We can show how investing in your organization it makes sense to an individual or an organization that differentiates you from others with some specificity, because there's a lot of great organizations out there raising money, but how do you differentiate yourself from others so you stand out in the crowd?
Right. And I guess, you know, I'm kind of curious. I know there is a whole school of thought. There are associations for fundraisers, probably the National Association of Professional Fundraisers. What is the school of thought behind fundraising? Are there specific tactics, strategies in fundraising today? Has it changed with the onset of social media? This isn't your granddaddy's fundraising strategies anymore? What's happened in that whole space?
Well, there are many different platforms that are out there right now. Many organizations, you can just click a button and you can donate to that organization. But when you're looking for large, significant dollars, that really hasn't changed over the years. You still want someone to go in and make a case to a donor or investor with a that shows why investing in this organization matters. And we look at it as does your organization have asking rights? And that is really the ability of a nonprofit to deliver outcomes that are valuable to those investors. So while it has changed in some ways, in other ways it has not. And the model that we have worked from for many years is still the most effective one. And if you can show that return on investment, or what we like to show is say for traditional nonprofits is your organizational value proposition. You know, how do you take that? We discussed a little bit earlier, a Boys and Girls Club. If by investing in this Boys and Girls Club, how does that impact the community at large from the standpoint of, maybe decreased encounters with law enforcement, or these kids tend to finish school and then go on to a community college or to a four-year institution. So again, while you can click a button and make a donation, it's still the tried and true process is in person making that ask.
Right. So value to the community. Right. Very good. So, one of the things that I imagine you focus on is making that connection between what that nonprofit, what that organization represents, and then who the donor is. Right. Because you're not just going to go to all the same donors with the particular community. Mm-hmm. That particular community, that organization has an idea, has a mission, and you try to connect it with the donor who supports that particular mission. Is that correct?
That in some instances, yes, that's correct. But we also look to try to potentially expand that base of donors or investors.
Okay.
And one of the ways that we do that is in the process is through in the early stages through a feasibility study. Or what we call an opportunity analysis. You may be familiar with that from your nonprofit days. But we want to take an organization's program of work into the community and test it with stakeholders and investors and see if they support what you're looking to do over, let's say, a five-year period of work. And we take that feedback, which is very valuable because those are generally confidential interviews, and we'll get information that you won't get from people in the community. And then we're able to take that information back to you and say, look, with some refinements, you might be able to raise this amount of money.
Okay. Wow. That's powerful. Yeah.
It is. And we like to say that our job is to tell you things that you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Right.
But generally that works out well.
That's great.
I really appreciate that kind of concept, because what you really are doing, some very in-depth market research for these organizations. And that's kind of how the process starts for you, really?
Correct.
Kind of understanding the goals of the organization, but then really understanding how are they currently viewed in the community, and then maybe make corrections. I love that. I love that strategy. One of my thoughts now is, having heard you kind of talk about how this works, which I really appreciate, but what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that current nonprofits make as you walk in the door and you say, okay, what have you tried? You know, what have you done in the past? What are you seeing as some of those, maybe the top three mistakes that nonprofits make in trying to go raise money on their own like this?
Well, there's an assumption oftentimes that, hey, we're doing good work, but it's just a lot of activity.
Right.
And so individuals, right, when you sit down with it, there's an assumption that, hey, we're doing great work here, but you can't show those outcomes. You have outputs, but no investable outcomes.
Sure. Right.
But hey, you should invest in our organization because we do great work. Well, the next person that's walking in the door is probably going to say the same thing.
Right.
And again, how do we position you? Individuals need to be able to position their organization in a way that you sitting on that side of the table see a benefit either to yourself,
right,
or to your community.
Right.
Because oftentimes we go in with assumptions that, Tom's going to be really interested in this. So I didn't do my homework, and we're assuming you're going to support it. But if we'd have done a little bit of fact finding, we'd have found out that, hey, you're really interested in this.
Right.
And you will make an investment, and it will be substantial. So that's often a big mistake that organizations assume that everybody wants to invest in them.
Dr. Ricardo, I think we found a great adjunct business school professor here.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is using all the right words here. Position your company. It's about the outputs. I mean, this is textbook, business.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I imagine in working with organizations, sometimes, I mean, they clearly can use this information, of course, and then maybe even change or modify their strategy a little bit, I can imagine.
Correct. You're right. Yeah, you kind of joke about the adjunct professor, but really, that's, we take a business approach to fundraising.
And, right. Actually, Paul, I wasn't joking.
No, okay. That's right. We could definitely.
We need some adjunct professors.
I could actually use a colleague here.
But we take that approach, and it generally is very favorable for the organization. And you made a good point, Dr. Ricardo, by when we take that information back to an organization based on the feedback we receive from the stakeholders, they are able to refine that program of work.
Yeah.
And then if they move forward with a capital campaign, which hopefully we manage, when I go back and sit down with that individual, they will see that you listened to what I said during the feasibility study, or we call it an opportunity analysis. And then what happens is when an investor or donor sees that, they tend to write a much larger check because you listen to them.
That's right.
And we have a saying as well, as what they write, they will underwrite. And so that's usually leads to success.
I love your protocol. I love your process and your procedure. I love this whole concept of positioning the organization. I always struggled with that concept in in marketing, Dr. Ricardo, of really where do we position ourselves in this community? And, you know, especially in a high growth area like we are along the Treasure Coast, I mean, it's kind of tough for a lot of these nonprofits to really understand how are we positioned in this community with all this growth going on. So it is a tough question, and I'm sure lots of folks could help. Could use the help in answering the question. I would think that your organization would be a natural partner and collaborator with organizations like the SBDC, because you could help bring that fundraising expertise. SBDC brings some of that business expertise. I think it's a natural partnership.
It could work. And actually, living in Jacksonville, I know it, SBDC, so the people over there at University of North Florida.
Right.
And they do good work. But generally, our focus is going to be on that nonprofit. And so it's sort of a chicken and an egg thing because, hey, you walk in to the SBDC, we have this great nonprofit, but we fundraising becomes an issue because, you know, they're coming because they need the funds. So generally, our wheelhouse for organizations is probably our target market is organizations that have probably half a million to 10 million in annual budget, and looking to raise anywhere from a million to 20 million across the board.
Nice.
But we are always looking to partner with organizations because in the end, it's a win-win for everyone.
Right. Nice. And what is the actual business model? Do you take a percentage of what's raised? Is that all that determined up front? How does the actual business partnership part of this work?
The way the model works is we charge a flat fee. We're members of the Association of Fundraising Professionals, and we don't take a percentage of a fee. So we think that's the best way to do things. So we have a monthly fee for the duration of our contract or engagement with an organization. And we provide a lot of follow-up services that are of no cost, but generally that's how our business model works.
And is there some, as you spoke about earlier, when you engage with a new client, is there some sort of period where you have discussions, understand roles before you get into an actual contract? Do you provide a little bit of upfront information so they can kind of understand where this all is headed?
Oh, definitely. Perfect example would be here at FEDC, some organizations, and we've had a chance to speak with some people a little bit about the process. We try to find out what their goals are, what they're looking to do. Do they have an enthusiastic board that is, you know, ready to maybe to move forward? And generally, a CEO or executive director or staff person will take that information back to the organization. And then we begin an engagement and try to do some fact finding because we want to make sure we're a good fit for that organization. And maybe they might need some board development. Maybe they might need some other areas of work. Well, we can help with that as well. We want to, again, it goes all the back to that positioning we discussed a little bit earlier. We want to make sure that the organization has a plan of work and asking rights in the community and investable outcomes before we even continue to go down that road because we want to set up the organization for success.
Nice. Incredible organization. Paul, how does one find out more about Convergent Nonprofit Solutions and get engaged and potentially have a conversation with you?
Well, they can contact me at our website is www.convergentnonprofitsolutions.com or they can reach me at psantiago@convergentnonprofit.com.
Okay. All right. I like it. Incredible organization, incredible resource for nonprofits across the state of Florida. And you are actually located in Jacksonville.
Yes, I am.
So you're close to everybody here in Florida.
Great state of Florida, as I like to call it.
Except for maybe somebody in Key West, but you're close.
Tom, I might have an adjunct professor and colleague. I'm going to call on Paul.
Yes,
he's got some great knowledge, and the organization's terrific.
Yeah.
So this has been really been great.
Thank
you.
Love it.
We're happy to help, and we've had the benefit of working with over almost 50 organizations in the state. So
wow,
great.
Wow. You want to just maybe any sort of ballpark figure of what you've raised for organizations in the state of Florida? Those 50.
I would say, I don't know the exact number.
Right, sure.
I've been involved with three of them. And we've probably raised several hundred million.
Wow. Terrific. Nice work, Paul. Terrific. And all, again, in a very much needed space, which is nonprofits.
Yes.
So, Paul, thank you for your work. Thank you for sharing your talents and expertise in fundraising with Florida's nonprofit community.
Enjoyed it. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right. It is Paul Santiago, who serves as Director of Campaign Services for Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, an individual I wish I had known 30 years ago. Again, we're coming to you. Small Biz Florida is coming to you from the annual Florida Economic Development Conference here in beautiful downtown St. Pete. So stay with us. There's more to come from the conference and more to come from Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.